Mini-episode 192 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You'll want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, folks, welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 192. Rick Morris, Kyle Ross, breaking down NFL Week 4 for you. Quick note at the outset here. For anybody that's been wondering, are we going all football all the time here? I say this not to bitch about this, but just a note. We've had three cancellations this month alone from Jesse Ventura. We're looking to do that in October, catch him while he's still on the book tour. So it's been mostly football, not by design, but basically the spots that we've had open for other things have been a series of cancellations there. And not bitching about it. We're happy to still be on the publicity tour and hopeful of getting the former governor when his schedule clears itself up here. But just in case anybody was wondering why we're going all football all the time here.
Hopefully it wasn't Jake Dickman in his line of questioning the last time. I was there the last time you interviewed the former governor of
Minnesota. If anybody would have alienated him, it would have been me. I was the one who started cross-examining him on how big of a Ron Paul supporter he is.
I mean, you did. I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that. I thought you were a little rude, to be honest with you. I thought
Jesse Ventura doesn't approve of cutting domestic spending like Ron Paul does. Don't insult my intelligence. So and as I say this, I'm blowing the next interview before it happens.
Just like Bret Hart never would have gone to MMA.
Yeah.
That was that same day. That was a great.
Very, very nice. Big shout out to Jennings, now out in L.A. and chasing his dreams out in Hollywood. So big thumbs up to our guy out there. Chasing our dreams here and making these picks. Kyle, you were doing quite well for the season. You said 9-3. To me off air as far as all your picks last
week.
With
three passes, keep in mind. Remember last week I stood my ground and refused to make picks on three games.
Okay.
So it was 9-3 with three passes. I'm glad I passed.
That's only 15 games.
Yeah, because we don't play the Thursday game.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, we don't play the Thursday
game. Okay, I mean,
except
I count it with
spoiler
mine.
Alert, we will this week.
Okay.
We will this week.
I've been putting mine on Twitter.
Here's an old handicapping move. Uh-huh. Was that on air or off air we talked about the line move that went towards Carolina and we both said we liked the Giants? Because if it's on air, let's make it 10-3,
yeah.
Okay? Okay. Was that on air or off air?
Yeah,
there's
I
an old handicapping
yeah.
move. Okay.
I know you like the Giants. Okay. I'll give you that one. Yeah. 2-1 last week on your recommended plays. 8-4-1 for the season.
Pretty par for the course then. Keep it.
6-10 for me. Thanks, refs, because it would have been 7-9 had the Monday Night Football game been refed competently.
What do I tell you? It goes to show. Always take home dogs. Always take the home dog.
Particularly when they can be so easily intimidated by somebody like Pete Carroll threatening to sic 70,000 drunks on them.
Hey, coach them up, Pete. Yeah. Coach them up. It doesn't matter if it's your players, you know. I'm sure the ref got a nice slap on the keister.
Probably.
To trademark Pete Carroll move.
Yeah. 6-10. I pretty much called that coming off of my 12-2-2 career week the week before. 1-2 on my big three picks. 0-1 on my lock pick. 26-20-2 overall for the season. 5-3 on the big three. 2-1 on the lock picks. We have a very interesting slate of games this week, Kyle, with our first bye week, Indianapolis and Pittsburgh on the bye.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think both teams need it, too. Pittsburgh, I was thinking, just based on who Cincinnati are playing this week, mm-hmm. they could find themselves in an early hole.
Very possibly, yeah.
I mean, we'll hit, you know, kind of each of those, the Ravens and Bengals individually as we move forward. And you know what's interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Of the couple games I lost, in a week that saw Minnesota upset San Francisco, mm-hmm. Oakland upset Pittsburgh, again, Ricky, I've got to beat that into everyone's head. You too, I think. Home dogs. You got to here's the thing. I know most people don't think this way because they're taking the inferior team. And certainly, if those teams play a series, you know, they always do that. To use a lame analogy, well, if San Francisco and Minnesota play a seven-game series, the Niners win.
Right.
But the home dog is always the right bet, I think.
Okay.
But I'd just like to say, this, to bring it back full around before I lose my point. Of all the surprises last week, you know what surprised me the most?
What?
The Colts losing to Jacksonville. That was my one of the three big recommended ones. I was shocked. Like,
they did
say,
though, two bad teams, though.
Yeah, you know, that was a game that not a lot of people talked about because there were certainly so many other things to talk about in NFL Week 3. That was the one that I was like, really? Like, the other ones, you know, hey, Oakland was all, Pittsburgh struggles on the road. Niners, I thought it would be a flat. I certainly was shocked they lost the game outright to Minnesota.
Right.
Shocked. But
and that took me out of my survivor pool a week after I survived the Arizona New England game.
Well,
I'm done.
Well, a lot of there are those survivor pools, and I've referenced it because I lost in mine too with New Orleans. Talk about a gag job. There are survivor pools that were in the hundreds and hundreds of people that are down to like 15 people already.
Yeah.
I mean, almost every one of those things is going to restart probably by week five. So there was a lot to talk about. It's funny that I said how much I hated last week's card and did well. You know, for those keeping score at home, we're now at 18-8-2 with three passes the last 2 weeks, doing pretty well. So I like this card. So look for me to do terrible.
All right.
And we're going to start right with a rare Thursday edition of FDH Lounge here.
Yeah, and because of when we tape this, I always get the picks up on Twitter, and this week doing likewise since it's one of your lock picks, doing that as well. Baltimore hosting Cleveland in a game that started with a line at 12, went up to 13, now seems to have settled back to 12. This is one where I have great trepidation about this. I certainly wouldn't make it a big three play, but as pathetic as the Browns look, the worst team in the league on a short week, number one wide receiver Mo Mass out, even if some people don't happen to find that terribly hurtful. I'm taking Baltimore, but this is not one I'd want to have any money on.
This is one of my big three this week, and it's the Browns. And
the
Browns. Interestingly enough, the reason it's part of my big three has nothing to do with the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the more we would talk about the Browns, the more it would sour me on this pick, I think.
Okay.
This is all about a play against. Sometimes you just need to play against a team. And I know that Joe Flacco has looked better through 3 weeks than he ever has in his career in any previous season. But remember the Ravens? They've laid some eggs in previous years. Remember, I believe it was a Monday night game last year. They lost outright to Jacksonville.
Yep.
I'm not calling an outright loss here. Short week off a controversial and revenge-fueled win over New England at the last second. I don't look for the Ravens to have their A game here at all. And I will go ahead and I'm recommending very strongly Cleveland plus the double. I mean, you know me. I love double-digit dogs as well. I'm always going to go double-digit dogs on sheer principle, unless if it's the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Take the Browns plus the points. Some places, and we'll go with the accepted lines here. We're not going to start line shopping, but I fully expect this line to be bet up closer to two touchdowns by kickoff.
Okay.
So if you do want to take this pick, I'll do a little of this for the listeners too, Ricky. Wait until closer to kickoff because I think you're going to get up to about 13.5.
All right, very interesting. When you look at it here, I think it's a situation where I'm almost tempted to go Browns just based on the principle that I've said before that they're the classic penis-punching kind of a team that's going to sneak in and get the backdoor cover.
They could be down by 17.
Yeah.
The Ravens will be, you know, patting themselves on the back. Ween can hit about six checkdowns in a row, get to the backdoor cover.
Yeah, probably could, but again,
that's why you take double-digit dogs. There's only been one double-digit dog so far this year, to my knowledge, that being Arizona, and they won outright.
The awfulness of Brandon Weeden is probably the number one reason I'm laying the points here. What he did against a frankly surprisingly weak Cincinnati defense.
I want to bring that up. Bring that up later when we talk about the Bengals, how bad their defense has been.
They've made them look good, as they've made everybody look good this year, notwithstanding that they're 2-1. I'm laying the 12. You're taking the Browns, and that's what
you're laying the 12.
I'm laying the 12.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
I said I had trepidation because of that.
Okay.
But no, I'm laying the 12 in large part. Just about the youngest team in the league on the road, on national television. You know, probably, rattled about, a young team is going to be more rattled about the situation with bad replacement refs. Everything's pushing me away from
the Browns are going to probably need, this is terrible to ask of it, to like cross your fingers and hope from an NFL team. They're going to have to score in double digits is the only thing.
Sure.
And that somewhat does concern me.
Yeah, well. You know, Phil Dawson better be pretty limber because everything is contingent on that if they're going to get double-digit points. So that's what we like for the Thursday game here, which, again, by the time you hear this, will have come and gone.
So you can make fun of us.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly.
One of us will be wrong.
Yeah.
The other one will be right.
Yeah, that clearly will be the case. The rest of the slate here on Sunday, New England at Buffalo. This is one where you have a little bit of a relatively short road favorite here. New England laying 4 down from 5 earlier on. My instinct in looking at this, again, it just – and this is how I start to make picks like this at this time of the year. New England needs this one so badly. They just really do. I can't see them being 1-3. I really can't see Buffalo being 3-1. To me, it's as simple as that. I like New England to win and obviously to cover, and I came close to making this a lock pick. Or not a lock pick, but one of my big three.
I can't disagree with anything you just said. Mm-hmm. This is a New England team that has not lost 3 in a row since 2002.
Ooh, 10 years.
Yeah.
My rudimentary grasp of
that was the year, by the way, they did not make the one of 2 years they have not made the playoffs in the Brady era. They did not make the playoffs
in the 9-7 grid with the Browns.
Yes, because they lost a tiebreaker to the Cleveland Browns. Thank you very much. Let's throw in the fact that CJ Spiller's out here for the Bills.
Yeah.
I am going to do one of my principles. This is the way I look at games kind of around this year. Who would bet Buffalo in this game? Take the Bills plus the points at home.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, dogs.
I could see them cover. I can't see them winning. I'm more firm on the outcome.
Buffalo did. I know it was one of Brady's worst games ever last year. If you remember, it was around this time last year. Buffalo won a wild game.
Right.
To go to 3-0 in Orchard Park last year. They even still call it Rich Stadium. What's the name of it?
Ralph Wilson Stadium.
Yes. Pardon me.
The Venerable.
Yes. But I think Buffalo can keep this one close. You're right. Based on what you said, I couldn't possibly see New England falling to 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's going to think that. The lines – I'm surprised that this line actually went down a little bit. It did go – here's the thing, though. It went up. It opened at 3.5, went all the way up to 5, and then has come back down to 4.
Ooh.
So – it'll be
smart money on New England, then, probably.
It'll be interesting to see. Initially, the line move went up. I could have sworn this opened at 3.5.
Okay.
But I like Buffalo because, look, home dogs of 3.5 or higher.
Yeah.
On sheer principle, I got to go Bills. Although,
okay.
I don't feel great about it, though.
Okay. The other thing, too, Brady might have struggled against them last year, but Patriots, as far as how they have defensed Ryan Fitzpatrick, 11 INTs the last 4 times they've played.
Oh, well, so you've done your homework, I see.
Well,
and by the way, New England has been in the Brady era, has like beaten Buffalo every time except that game last year.
I feel guilty after you put me over there. Thank you, USA Today Sports Weekly,
okay,
for that.
Okay, very good. Okay, very good.
My ever-present companion as we do this show.
You have more integrity than Chris Broussard, I see.
Everybody has more integrity than Chris Broussard. All right, I like New England, you like Buffalo, so we differ again there on that one. Next,
I knew we would. I think we're going to disagree on a lot of games this week.
We may very well.
I think we're going to disagree on almost every game.
Next one here, and again, no pick for you on this one. You'd set off air because there's not a line of scores and odds, which is the main thing that we like to use here. You can find lines in other places. I'm just going to use for what we've been finding out there for what's online. Lions laying 4.5 at home to Minnesota. This may not be one where we differ. I don't know. Although the Lions being at home, maybe we will. See, I kind of see this one going kind of like how you saw the last one. Minnesota sure as hell ain't winning this game.
Mm-mm.
I could see them losing by a field goal, and I think that's what I'm going to kind of go with here, particularly in light of the uncertainty right now as to the status of
Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Lions to win but not cover. I'll take the points.
I'm shocked by that. This is a pass for me.
Okay.
With games like anytime that you're midweek and you don't have a line, I just don't like to get involved in games like that. Stafford's questionable.
Okay.
I will say this. There's a spot right now where you can get Detroit -3. If not that I would recommend doing this or anything. I'm just saying for your information, if you went to, say, Legends, you could get them at -3. But I would be interested in that because this Vikings off an outright win like that at home. Detroit was a clear candidate. We both have them along with the Saints, if you remember from our previews, as the two clear candidates for aggression in the NFC. We're looking pretty smart right now through 3 weeks. Detroit's going to win this game. That's all I'll say. Detroit's going to win straight up, but it's a pass for me.
I don't want to be the guy that backs too far off of my initial projections. I did think Minnesota was going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
But they have as many wins as I thought they would for the year.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Christian Ponder right now, 70.1% completion percentage. That's why I see them covering and losing very narrowly. I just think he's going to pick that secondary apart.
It's kind of funny that we assumed, and we weren't the only ones, that division would be very top-heavy with Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit, and then Minnesota would be way off the pace. Maybe a little, in honor of what's going to happen on the first Tuesday of November, a little redistribution of the wealth in the NFC North, huh, Ricky? Huh?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little
around.
Even. It's going to be a little more even, huh? A little perestroika in the NFC North, a little glasnost.
Yeah, well, that'll be a federal initiative under the next version of Obamacare, I'm sure, so. There's another one where, okay, we probably would have differed if you were making a pick on that one there. But, yeah,
that's
I'm taking
a pass. It's going to be one of two passes. I'm bringing the pass back in this.
All right, next one here.
Sid Luckman of the show.
Atlanta is at home.
Those are Chris Berman-like reference there, by the way. I should be ashamed of myself.
Chris Berman, you should be ashamed.
Okay, can you edit that out of the final production notes? Just leave a dead spot.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. Yes. The Falcons are hosting the Panthers. Atlanta is laying 7.5 points, down from 9, so there's been fairly decent action on Carolina thus far. You know, this is shades of last week for me, of where I wanted to go against Atlanta because after the big covers in the first two games there, and then I just couldn't bring myself to under the circumstances.
They look good.
Same thing here, as shaky as Cam Newton has looked, and with the early money, or not early money, but, you know, the midweek money really flowing strongly towards Carolina, that's enough to make me go the other way. Very reluctantly, as with last week, I am going with Atlanta, laying the 7.5. So even with the hook there, I do like the Falcons at home. Cam Newton's got to show me that the sophomore slump is behind him. Before playing a great team like the Falcons right now, if he wants me to pick him to cover.
You know, it's funny, everyone obviously, and as they should have got on Newton for the Superman thing, I cringed when I watched it last Thursday. Their only touchdown at home against the New York Giants, a terrible performance by Cam Newton and my Carolina Panthers. But I think it's the Falcons who are going to get caught beating their chests a little too much here. Carolina has clearly been overvalued with all the preseason hype from people like myself the first 3 weeks. I mean, all their games fell into numbers where the line was 3 or less. Remember last year early on, they were very undervalued. Cam Newton really made a early career out of covering through the back door.
Right.
And I could see that happen here. As long as this line stays over 7, I'm very confident that Carolina can hang tough with Atlanta. Atlanta's interesting. They're clear to me right now. I've got them ranked as the top team in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
All three wins, though, against the AFC West.
True.
This is a lot of points. It's tough to lay more than one score in a divisional matchup.
It is. It is tough. But the number one thing I would say that I'm looking at here, for as much as people have been wringing their hands about Michael Turner and the state of the Atlanta running game, and part of that has been that now with going more vertical this year with the adaptations in their offense, it's just not as big of a part of the game plan. But for anybody that's overly worried about that, Carolina giving up 139 yards a game on the ground, I think it's the perfect get-well thing here for the Falcons running game, if indeed they even need it. So
only their second home game, too.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. So
they're a dangerous home team, I'll be honest with you. But Carolina, I mean, poof, with all that preseason hype, you don't want to fall to 1-3.
Yeah, that is true. The next game here, our boy from the show here, one of our favorite recurring guests, Kenny Albert, calling this one here at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. It's the 49ers visiting the New York Jets in this instance here. It is a line that started with the 49ers laying about 3.5, up now to about 4. So a little bit of movement in that direction with San Francisco weighing more points. Again, this is a thing where travel not going to be as big of an issue. San Francisco going back to the Warren, Ohio gimmick or Youngstown or whatever, but staying over towards the PA border where DeBartolo's got the ties there. I'm going to forego any Cosa Nostra jokes because I don't want to get sued. But so the time zone thing won't really be an issue. This looks like just a classic kind of revenge kind of a thing a week after taking Minnesota a little bit too lightly. I think Harbaugh is going to have him shot out of a cannon here in this one. I like San Francisco weighing the 4. And the Jets, based on how they've looked at various points in this season, this may not be close. They may get thumped on their home turf.
Last week I said take Minnesota on the points, hold your nose. I'm going to say take the Jets and hold the points with the Jets and hold your nose again here. Home, you got to go home dog. Similar to New England Buffalo, who's going to take the Jets in this game?
Yeah.
So I'll take them.
All right.
I like to be alone. You know me. I'm a contrarian by nature. I think the loss of Revis is slightly overrated. I thought he peaked about two seasons ago. I will say that.
Like they need him to shut down Crabtree. I'll give you that.
And Alex Smith isn't going to exploit that secondary. I'll say this, though. Again, I'm a bit of a Tebow defender. I'm no Skip Bayless by any means. But, you know, last year on this program, I defended Tebow on a weekly basis. It clearly worked in Denver. The way he's being used is just awful. It's the most obvious thing. Like, when he comes in, it's like, gee, I wonder what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets' offenses look bad. The Niners' defense is very good. You're right. Harbaugh has been really – Harbaugh's been a great bet. And last year, they did win both games back-to-back in the Eastern time zone, if you remember. But in the second leg of that, they were a 10-point dog to Philly.
They're a favorite now.
The Niners, I think they're going to start giving some back. I see the Niners winning a very, very close game here, but take the points in the Jets.
One of the things that just really is making me think that the 49ers are going to establish the tempo and really be able to stay with it. Frank Gore, boy, a guy it's got a lot of mileage, a lot of city miles on him, but he's having a heck of a year, 5.9 yards per carry. The Jets giving up 149 yards a game on the ground. That's a bad matchup there. That's like a recipe for the 49ers to control the clock 36 minutes plus.
Like I said, hold your nose.
Yeah.
It's not something I'm confident. It's just on principle with the home dog.
Well, and again, you know, you're getting the points, so much like my pick of Minnesota, even a field goal loss for the Jets there gets it for you. So every game that we've played thus far, we're splitting on down the line. See if it holds up. And he thinks it probably will for the next one also because it's a battle of the teams that we picked to win the AFC West this year.
I don't know if we're going to agree on a single game this week. I'll be honest with you.
This is very interesting here. Yes.
I don't think we're going to – I looked, as a matter of fact. I'm like, you know what? When I looked at this card, I was like, I kind of like this card. I'm like, and I don't think I'm going to agree with Rick on one pick.
Yeah, you know my tells by this point in the season here. San Diego,
and I knew this is the one we would definitely disagree on.
Yeah, this one's a pick 'em. San Diego was laying a point on the road at the outset here. Now it's down to a pick 'em. This is a game where, a little bit of a bump in the road last week for San Diego, playing the team that I have rated as the number one team in the league in my power rankings, Atlanta. So I am not overly concerned by how badly they got thumped in that game there.
Really? Even, I mean, because it wasn't close. They got crushed.
Yeah, they got crushed. But, I'm less concerned about somebody getting thumped by an excellent team that's really firing on all cylinders. The Chiefs have just had some real extreme ups and downs to this point in the season. The only real up actually, frankly, took place in like the second half of the fourth quarter last week and into overtime as they came back on New Orleans. A lot of downs before that, quite frankly, in the games previous
against Atlanta and
Buffalo.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think San Diego is just looking like the much better team at this moment in time. They've got Ryan Matthews back now, allegedly, and I'm going to be riding San Diego. I think that they're firing on way more cylinders than Kansas City is. And a pickup, I like the road team outright, or pick 'em, I should say.
I'm sticking to my preseason pick. I'm going Chiefs. This is one of my top picks too.
Okay.
This is one of my big three. Right. I'm going Kansas City. I just didn't believe in San Diego. I was not really surprised to see them get waxed by Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I put a lot more in that loss than I think you do.
Okay.
I mean, it was pretty alarming how bad they got worked.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think Kansas City is just a better team. I know it was a tough case to make, and, man, they really looked like they were going to be 0-3 against the Saints. But they exploded. And what really surprised me is Kansas City's a team that I thought would be in trouble last week because they would get down early. Mm-hmm. They did. And they're not a team that we've seen in the first two games. Not good when they get down. But I don't see them getting down here. It's at home. Arrowhead used to be such a big home field advantage. They beat Green Bay here last year. They can beat San Diego. I think they're a better team than San Diego.
Well, and with Jamal Charles having given me two huge fantasy wins last week, I hate to play the pessimist about my own teams here this week, but San Diego thus far, the one thing they are doing, 67 yards a game on the ground. They've been hard to run on.
Yeah, but who'd they play those first two games? Oakland, they stink, and Tennessee's pretty bad, too.
Oakland's got McFadden, dude. I mean, they've held McFadden, Michael Turner, and Chris Johnson in check. Now, those guys have looked like dog crap by and large, but how much of it has had to do with playing teams like San Diego?
What's the
chicken or the egg?
I think Charles is going to have a big game. That's where we disagree.
I hope so. For the selfish sake of my
fantasy team, I have him on my team, too.
So.
I have him on my team, too. So,
yeah, very interesting. This next one, I surmise we may agree on this next one here. It's the 1-2 Titans at the 3-0 Texans. And this is an interesting game here. Tennessee with a must-win game last week, salvaging whatever hope they still have
for
this season.
Said something would be in the air, and sure enough, they scored all five of their touchdowns on ridiculous plays.
And this is one where, and again, maybe I'm sort of going against, you know, what I've said previously about, you know, a team playing a great defense and everything like that. I should be scared as hell of a rookie like Jake Locker in a situation like this, and I kind of am, but 12 points, I think the back door is open in this one here. Houston is going to lay it to them, but I just think Tennessee, last-minute field goal or whatever, to get that sumbitch down to 11, Tennessee, I think, covers the 12. I have no doubt they will lose and lose soundly, but I think they're going to sneak through.
This is kind of weird because my eliminator, if I were to give away an eliminator pick this week, it would be on Houston.
Okay.
But I like Tennessee, too. Double-digit dog. Houston, look, they're my I have them. I have Atlanta number two in my power rankings right now in the league. I have Houston number one. And as good as Houston is, and I picked them, remember, to go win the Super Bowl, I just see this one being a little bit closer than the experts. Like, that's too many points. Houston is now in a role where they're going to be routinely laying big points. It's new for them. Tennessee did show a big play capability. The only thing that scares me is you don't get that every week. I mean, they're not. I mean, it was an NFL record last week, 5 touchdowns of 60 or more. 2 of them, I think, were non-offensive. 1 of them was a botched coverage by Detroit where they didn't even know where the ball was.
Yep.
So, not my favorite. Hold your nose. Take the double digits with Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree on that one. Also, looking at this, and we really have yet to say this too many times this season, if at all, and it's rare that you would say this about a battle of the two best teams in a division, albeit there's a big gap between number one Houston and number two Tennessee, but a potential look-ahead game, Houston's next game Monday night or against the Jets.
That's a good thing. Yeah. And is it in Houston or is it
It's in New York.
Oh, it's in New York.
They'll
still be looking for it because they're not a team. They're a team that doesn't get a lot of Monday night games. So,
right. Yeah. So I think that's a situation, again, for Tennessee to keep it close enough. I was right. That is where we agree for the first time here. Next one up, Arizona is hosting Miami. This is a very, very, very interesting game. One of the more intriguing games of the week, I thought. The 1-2 Dolphins, the 3-0
really?
Cardinals. In the sense of, part of it is, too.
From a line perspective, it is interesting. I'm not going to be glued to my TV watching this one.
Arizona's gone from 7-6, which I kind of find interesting. I just find it interesting because of the conclusion that I've drawn here in this game. And that being,
I think I like where your head's at here.
It's going to be, and this may be very counterintuitive because of Reggie Bush having the knee injury that he has in the game. But I look at this, and, Arizona really put it together for at least a part of the game last week against Philadelphia. But on the whole, a relatively unimpressive 3-0. And I look at this, I look at the problems that they've had running the ball. I look at the fact that the Dolphins have been stout against the run, 65 yards a game.
Where your head's at.
Miami to cover, and this is, I don't even know where this is coming from. This is coming from a deep, dark place inside of me, and I swear to God, this is not me as a Dolphins fan. I have the oddest feeling in my gut. This could be an outright upset on the road.
Oh,
I like
where your head's at.
Miami is taking they're going to cover the 6.
I'm not going to go that far, but I do like the Dolphins plus the points. This is a classic case of Arizona now kind of being on the national radar because they're one of three 3-0 teams. They've been a dog in every game, right? They were a home dog against Seattle. They were a double-digit dog against New England, and they were a home dog against Philly. I don't like – this is the classic case where I don't like a team now as a favorite.
Right.
And we said on our preview that as bad as Miami was in the preseason and, you know, Hard Knocks, there's a lot of ill will from that. Look for them to win a little bit more than you think. I thought they could – they wouldn't achieve the same level of success Cincinnati did last year, but they would certainly do better than people think like Cincinnati did last year. And I'm going to go with the points. I'm going to take the points here. Arizona – look, I looked at their schedule. I want to make this point about Arizona, by the way. They're going to keep winning. They're going to have a really good record after about seven or eight games. They're going to be like 6-2. I looked at their schedule, though. It's really backloaded.
Okay.
They're going to fall apart late. I'm not buying this team with that quarterback situation and that offensive line.
I would agree.
You don't win in this. I mean, Alex Smith, people forgot, really much came into his own last year. I mean, he's not great, but I don't think this quarterback situation settled at all between Cobb and Skelton. And, God, I you know, after I ripped Coach Wiz so bad on a previous show, I'm kind of rooting for Arizona to lose
Coach
a few games.
Coach him up, Wiz, yeah. But it's, I'll tell you what, though. I guess it's a thing where the feeling that I have about this game is just because when you're talking about, you know, the Cardinals now being, you know, favorite and everything like that, I'm a real slow person to move to embrace the big changes of – here's the thing. This game is going to be used in a lot of eliminator pools this week. People cannot fathom that Miami could beat Arizona.
Yeah, I like
Two
where your head's at.
2 weeks ago, people couldn't fathom Arizona could beat New England.
Yeah,
I don't. They've gone from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Overvalued. There is no way that even two weeks ago, before Arizona beats New England, that Arizona's laying this many points
this
to Miami.
Close to a toss-up. I mean, maybe.
Well, they would have got the token three for home field. I think
three
the line
for home field.
I expect the line to be bet up closer to seven by kickoff too, and that line's about 3 points too high.
Yeah. So we agree on this one, as I suspected that we might. The next one here, Denver is at home, and they are laying 6 to Oakland. It went up to 6.5 briefly, but it looks to have settled back down at 6. Again, this is another interesting one here. There are a number of these that I really kind of agonized over this week. It's a thing where I had a feeling coming into the season. I didn't rank either of these teams as even being at 500, and that put me at great variance with the rest of the world in terms of the Broncos. I think people saw the Raiders struggling, kind of a transitional year, new regime. Everybody really kind of overvalued the Broncos. Oh, Peyton Manning, and they'll just pick up where they left off. And yeah, you know, the offense has looked really good at times this season, but I don't know. They're still just kind of working out some of the kinks here. They've really struggled in recent games against Oakland. They've won 4 times in a row at Denver. I like them with the 6. They could win outright, but I'm going to take the points in this one here. Denver laying the 6 to Oakland.
Wow, this is the final one of my big three, and I'm going Denver.
Okay.
I actually really like the the AFC West giving me 2 of my big picks this week. I really like the Broncos in this spot. Oakland, 3-12 against the number off a straight-up win as a home dog.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this last year on the program, how poorly teams traditionally do the week after playing Pittsburgh. And their home dog win happened to be against Pittsburgh. I'm one of those people who thinks you can't lose to the same team at home every year unless you're like the Browns. So look who Denver's played. People are kind of starting to, like, question Peyton Manning a little bit now. Look who they've played.
That's a very tough.
Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and Houston. You and I, you know, I
Atlanta,
think,
Houston are 1-2 in my power
rankings.
I
think we've got them flip-flop. They played the best. They've lost to the best two teams in the league. Granted, they got off to slow starts in both games, but they, you know, rallied back to make it 6-point games in both instances. I kind of think they lay it to Oakland here.
Okay.
I really – I don't think Oakland has the firepower. If Denver can get off to a good start, which they haven't yet, I think they've been behind at halftime in every game. But I don't really like them very much. And they were the team of my youth. I was – that was a pretty surprising when they pulled off last week. But and they've also swept the division road games against the spread the last 2 years. That's got to come to an end. I just see the Broncos. The more I talk about this might be my favorite pick of the week, the Broncos.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I really like the Broncos.
See, my sense is I don't
one
think
one of the few favorites I like. Have I taken a favorite yet?
That's your first one, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
My sense in this one is, Denver, I don't think is going to – I'm sorry, Oakland isn't going to do much offensively. But I think Janabruski there in the thin air.
I love Janikowski.
He's going to get 4 or 5 field goals.
Do you know that he's 118 of 140 on field goals since 08 with 33 makes of 50 yards or longer?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an unbelievable
career.
I mean,
he is great. I mean, he's
the kicker on both my fantasy teams.
You knew he was going to make it last year. I mean, he just comes out. It doesn't even seem like he cares.
And the altitude, I mean, I don't know that you can necessarily underplay that. I think he's got the chance for 4 to 6 field goals this week under the circumstances.
Broncos defense is overrated. I said it all last year.
Then they still are, actually, yeah. So that's very interesting for leaving the back door open.
You know, everyone said that they carried Tim Tebow. No defense gave up more 40-point games last year than
that's
Denver
true.
Broncos. Tim Tebow carried Denver.
Well, Denver, I always said last year, they had a great defense situationally.
That's a great call by you.
They could make plays at times. If you looked at their numbers weren't great.
No, they weren't. Like I said, no team gave up more 40-plus point games.
Yeah, but they could just kind of summon it up in the moments. Speaking of which, I'm sure Green Bay is hoping that the refs can summon it up in the right moments here this week. They are at home playing New Orleans. Green Bay started out. This kind of puzzles me. They're laying 7.5. It started at 9, which tells me that the public and all the mouth breeders have been jumping on the Saints.
That shocked
me. Which I don't understand. Because
shocked me.
If ever there's a game, for as much as New Orleans is reeling, and for as much as Mike McCarthy's going to have them shot out of a cannon Sunday, I don't like to oversimplify generally, but I will in this one. Green Bay will come out and probably beat them by 40. After taking the worst plunger raping in the history of the NFL Monday night, Green Bay, I should have made this one of my lock picks here.
Wow.
I didn't, but yeah, they're going to cover the 7.5 without breaking a sweat. New Orleans is still just reeling themselves. I certainly don't see them getting it together after what they did last week against Kansas City.
See, I'm passing.
Okay.
I don't like this game at all.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something right now, and granted, I told you like the couple games that I lost in week 2 were because I made overreactions to what I saw in week 1.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not liking what I'm seeing out of Green Bay. I think there are more problems than replacement refs calling a simultaneous possession on the last play of the game.
Let's give credit. Seattle's got a very good defense.
Yeah, but and so does San Francisco and so does Chicago,
yeah.
I guess. And also, do you know who does not
and
have
they
a, good,
had a good game against Chicago?
Do you know? Well, no. Remember, one of their touchdowns was a gadget play.
Mm-hmm.
Their other one was on a short field. They should have had one of their touchdowns in week 1 against San Francisco shouldn't have counted. There was a block in the back on a Randall Cobb punt return.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers offense has not looked good. But I'll say this. Do you know who else has not looked good?
Who?
The New Orleans defense is just an abortion.
They are.
I mean, this is a walking poster. I mean, I don't mean to get political for Roe v. Wade. Okay. I mean, Ricky, they can't stop anyone.
Well, and
they are. So, and the Saints, when things started spiraling badly last week, I got real queasy because I had the Saints as an eliminator pick, and I just said this team just seems snake bitten. They just seem Drew Brees has not looked as good as he has in the last couple seasons. I don't like Drew Brees, by the way. Is that weird?
He's
him as a player.
He's a douche. He's exposed himself as a complete douche. And now he's out there.
I didn't think that was going to be a response.
No, I don't like him either. The way that you notice how he turned, his tweets this week about the refereeing back to crying about, the bounty scandal again. It's all about you, Drew. It's all about you. It's just, this is the same guy. He's the anti-Nicholas Lidstrom. The great teammate that he was, salary cap system.
This coming
in
from the guy wearing the Red Wings jersey, or pardon me, sweater.
Yeah, sweater. Okay, thank you. Yeah, get it right.
Almighty.
Get it right. Drew Brees grubs for every last penny. Drew Brees lost his Pro Bowl guard because he didn't want to take less to keep him. Nick Lidstrom took less to keep core guys around him.
Yeah,
Drew
that
Brees
work?
Is about Drew Brees.
How'd that work? Were the Red Wings losing the first round again in an upset? I can't remember.
Won the Stanley Cup in 2008, which was a part of the era that I'm talking about here. So,
I was getting a little on my wheelhouse. Okay.
Well,
I was nervous. I was like, please tell me they didn't win it all last year. Please tell me. I didn't remember them winning last year.
I had no idea that was a bluff. But well,
I was. I know they've lost early a couple times.
They have. But my point is, Drew Brees is all about – I was agreeing with you. Drew Brees is all about Drew Brees.
I think both these teams remain overvalued. The Saints look horrible, but, God, they're so desperate.
Man, here's why they'll lose by 40, though, and here's why. Because I'm going to take what you said about Green Bay's offense, and I'm going to take – the optimistic spin. I have the feeling in my gut we haven't seen the best of Green Bay yet.
If we
do this week.
Green Bay's offensive line is horrible.
If we do this week, if we see the best of Green Bay offensively, they'll be wheeling the gong out to the 50-yard line.
Green Bay's offensive line is horrid. I know Seattle has a very underrated defense.
And they're gonna,
you know, they're playing football in the NFC West these days. But Green Bay's all. I'm telling you, something's wrong. I'm not a huge buyer on Green Bay right
now. Okay.
I don't think I would rank Atlanta, certainly San Francisco, certainly maybe somebody else above them too in the NFC. I don't know.
Part of it is that, again,
maybe just those two. They did beat Chicago pretty handily.
Green Bay was my preseason Super Bowl.
I know they did.
I think they're going to get it together.
I've soured. Like, I remember I just kind of went against them just because I thought maybe something was wrong.
Okay. Well, so,
I still think something's wrong.
Yeah. Well, the offensive line has been worse than advertised. The defense has had its ups and downs, certainly.
Let me bring this up here real quick, if you have a moment. And really, I mean, since you're sitting here with me, I don't know what else you would be doing. But Green Bay here, I want to just go over something. I brought up some of the non-offensive touchdowns they received. Here's how many points the offense has scored in three games so far. 15 in week one against San Francisco. 16 against Chicago. Remember, they had a special teams touchdown. And their lone offensive touchdown, short field after a Cutler interception.
Right.
Last week, 12. So giving them even the short offensive touchdown, 15, 16, 12.
Yeah.
A lot of field goals. I know that last week they failed on a two-point conversion, so they, you know, they, but they had one. But man, something's wrong with them.
Good research. Again, I just keep going to that feeling.
Yeah, but
in
I mean,
my
something's
gut.
Really wrong with the Saints. I mean, this is a team who's giving up 40, 35, and 27 in a variety of ways.
Right. And if this is going to be a get well game for one of the two teams, I think we agree it would be for the Packers.
You and I, not to pat ourselves on the back, we're really, and I was beating myself up a little bit. Like, God, were we like just being were we being too trendy, a little too hipsterish? You know, were we drinking too much of the PBR before season? Mm-hmm. Because right before the season started, everyone's like, yeah, the coaching thing's a big deal, but they still got Drew Brees. You and I were very adamant about how
Drew Brees is a coach on the field.
You can't overestimate, really. Look, we said, I mean, I think you agreed. I definitely know I had it as my number one futures bet, Saints under 10.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that thing may cash by halfway point of the season right
now.
I mean, that you can't. I mean, that coaching situation is this. Who is this guy they got coaching? Aaron Kramer? Cromer? Who is this Hammenegger? This guy is terrible. This guy makes Rich Kotite look like Vince Lombardi.
You're gonna have your winnings on that ticket by the time you're eating your Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow,
there's a prediction.
Okay, by the time I usually pretend to fall asleep right after that too, so I don't have to talk to my family. Hopefully, they're not listening. By the way.
I never have to pretend. That damn tryptophan.
Oh, yeah. They always.
You know, even if I have a monster with my turkey, I'm still dozing afterwards. Okay, I don't know what the deal is. This next one here, I got to tell you, it could be a live dog in this next game here, albeit it's a road team talking about here. Washington at Tampa, battle of one and two teams.
I might agree here.
Tampa is laying the three at home. Again, it looks to me that it's purely that they're at home. Tampa Bay's really kind of had their ups and downs. Washington's been a little bit more predictable in what they've done thus far this year, in that RG3 has gone out there and put on some great performances, and the defense hasn't necessarily stopped anybody else. And it does somewhat kind of concern me that it's so easy to pass on Washington now, that it could be a good opportunity for Josh Freeman to stabilize. But nevertheless, this is one where, again, I look for Washington. I'm not taking a whole lot of dogs this week, kind of opposite of you, but this is because I consider them to be live. Washington to take the 3 points, they won't even need it. I think they'll win outright in Tampa.
This is a fair line. I would say going into the season, I had these teams even, so Tampa Bay playing at home, -3.
Mm-hmm.
Washington got overvalued off the RG3 performance in New Orleans. We kind of have seen now in recent weeks that, that was really surprising that a team like Washington goes into New Orleans and week one pulls the up. No one saw it coming.
Right.
But how bad has New Orleans looked the last two games?
Right.
Do you know who else I don't like while we're talking about people I don't like?
Who?
Guess.
Well, Greg Schiano.
He needs to hit the soup line.
We're going
to
coach till the final whistle. What do you say you try to stop Eli Manning when it counts?
Yes. What about the first 55 minutes? How about coaching? Although they did show video and Rutgers, you know, as much as people made fun of that, they did do that a lot.
You know what, though? Here's what I hate, and this goes back to my previous Rob Ryan rants. I hate internet tough guys. You can't throw a dead rat on Facebook or Twitter without people, that's real football. You play to the final whistle. Shut up, asswipe. I don't want to know you.
I really got you fired
that's,
up.
That's
here.
Like a license to defriend if I see you defending what? Greg Schiano.
You know what's amazing? Is what? I thought going into today there's no way anyone had more vitriol towards Drew Brees and Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
And little did I know that I'd be doing
Surprise.
A radio program with someone yeah. who hated them both more than me.
You wound me up.
Well, give a slight check mark to Washington. Tampa Bay's covered the spread in all three games. This is the time of year where I start looking for those things and go the other way.
Yeah, that's true.
The backdoor cover last week against Dallas, their offense did nothing against the Cowboys last
right.
week. You know, you want to rip on your boy Rob Ryan. His defense looked real good last week.
Yeah. Again, against Tampa. So, I mean,
we start
to get into the chicken and the egg here. We skip ahead because
I knew
always,
that Washington-Cincinnati game, by the way, would be – I told my buddy, mm-hmm. look for this to be the most entertaining game of the weekend. It would have been had not for that crazy Detroit-Tennessee game.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That would be a couple of once-in-a-generation games there. We skip over to Sunday nighter because we always take my big three as the last three that we do. To the Monday nighter, to a game that you will be seeing in Big D.
Yes.
Chicago at Dallas Monday night.
I will be there.
Dallas is laying 3.5. It had been up as high as 4. It started at 3.5, so it's been bouncing around in this range. Interestingly enough, has not gone down to 3, where it seems a lot of times popular to have a line. It's not gone down to that point. This is one where really I kind of went back and forth on this. It's a mirror image thing to me as far as two teams that at this point, as much as anything else, are
unpredictable.
Well. And where does it come from? It
yep.
comes from the most important position on the field, quarterback.
Yeah.
What are you going to get out of Tony Romo? What are you going to get out of Jay Cutler?
These are two hard teams to bet on right now.
Well, they are. You got quarterbacks that are prone to making stupid decisions at different times here. Here's what I go back to more than anything else. I look at that. I mean, all things being equal, as much as I love Michael Bush and as great as he's been for my fantasy team, all things being equal, I would take DeMarco Murray over Michael Bush. Maybe not by a lot, but by a little bit at least anyways. But the Bears are giving up 76 yards a game on the ground. Dallas, 111. I think it's going to be easier for Bush to run than it will be for Murray in a close game. That makes the difference for me. I say take the 3.5, take Chicago on the road Monday night.
First of all, sold my segue on Rob Ryan, which I thought was going to work so well because I knew we were skipping the Sunday night game. Two, you thought there was controversy.
Yeah.
Okay, on last Monday night. How about when I'm present in Jerry World? Okay, you talk about poor decisions with Cutler and Romo. Yeah, I mean, Kyle Ross and Shad Repak invented the poor decision making. Okay.
Rob Sacamano.
Yeah, I mean, this one could get real ugly. Here's an FDH lounge first.
Okay.
I'm not passing on this game, but I will not be picking a side. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Preseason, based on preseason, I think there's some value with Chicago getting more than 3.
Mm-hmm.
But home teams, and I'm somebody who goes to a lot of random sporting events in a lot of random cities, home teams always show up when I go.
Okay.
I remember I went to granted it was the Royals were the visitor, but I went to a Tigers-Royals game earlier this year, and the Tigers were great.
Okay.
Was that last year? What year is this?
This was 12, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. It was actually last year.
Okay.
Chad Repak, if you're listening, when did we go to that Flaming Lips concert in Detroit? I can't remember if this was this year or last year.
Okay.
I can't remember at all.
Okay.
I think it was last year. Almost positive.
You talk about going to random sporting events. Does that ever encompass have you gone back, Kyle Ross, now that we've had this revival in recent years of roller derby? Have you made it to any roller derby events in recent years?
No.
Oh, okay.
You said
you go to random sporting events.
Yeah, sporting events that matter. The sporting events that move the needle. You know me. Hey, if ESPN's going to be there, I'm going to be there.
And they're
going
to be there
much.
Monday night,
yes.
So you'll get to go get an autograph from Gruden and all your heroes there at ESPN.
I will. I might shake hands with Trent Dilfer and give you a little wave, too. You know what I'm picking here?
What?
Over. First in FDH Lounge history.
Okay.
I'm picking a total on this game. I'm going to go over. I don't like picking a game mm-hmm. with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Romo and Cutler. Here's the pick.
Box of chocolates.
Whichever guy makes this stupider decision will obviously cost his team.
Yeah.
I have friends from Chicago that happen to be at this game, too, so it's going to be real wild. Game is going to get ugly. Look for me to maybe streak on the field in this game. I mean, this game could get ugly, Ricky.
Yeah.
You may want to call me Tuesday morning to make sure I'm still alive.
If I get a phone call For anybody during the game, are you watching this? Somebody just got arrested at the game for running on the field streaking. Son of a bitch, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly.
Right before I get a text message with the bail money.
It'll either be him or Mike. It'll either be me or Mike Tirico, probably.
By the way, punch Stu Scott in his good eye for me.
Oh, come on. That's out of line. I will say this. I defend ESPN more than anyone. God, I hate when Stuart Scott does Sunday Night Sports Center.
Oh, he's awful.
He's really bad.
He's like another universe of awful altogether.
He's real bad. I think he might be the worst guy that, you know, I know a lot of people want to beat up on Skip Bayless, but I think Stuart Scott is the worst thing about ESPN.
Those guys are kind of neck and neck, and that's not a prize that anybody should want to have. Going to my big three picks for the week here, the first of the ones, this is one where, I mean, in a sense, I'm kind of queasy, and I'm kind of queasy seeing where the number's going on this one. Seattle is laying 3 to St. Louis. It
Ricky,
started at 1. The
it.
Public is jumping on them. I don't know. I just think, again,
Ricky.
You know, as much of a ripoff as it was Monday night, I just think Coach 'em Up Pete is going to have them. Just again, I think they're going to carry the momentum over in this game. Seahawks have won 13 of the last 14 against St. Louis. St. Louis has sort of been like the Cleveland Browns of this division vis-a-vis everybody else. Seattle laying 3 on the road, and that's the thing too. I'm almost tempted to go the other way because it's almost a why ask why line, because it's like, why weren't they laying more to St. Louis to start with, and why did it take the mouth breathers and the public to get it up to 3?
Oh, Ricky.
Having said that, I'm not going to say why ask why. I'm
Ricky,
just going to go.
No.
Sometimes the things – I hear where you're coming from, and where you're coming from clearly is the things that look too obvious generally are, and I get that, but I don't think that I just look at what this Seattle defense has done this year. 59 yards a game that they've yielded on the ground. So Steven Jackson is not going to be able to do enough to get the heat off of Bradford. I just think it's going to be a swarm on him all day long. Amendola is going to probably get, like, you know, 18 catches in the slot, but it'll be for like a cumulative 60 yards. I just don't see where the Rams are going to be able to move the ball enough on this one. Lay the 3, take Seattle on the road.
Rams have been competitive under Jeff Fisher. I thought they'd
be
a lot better than they've been in recent years. That's predictable. This, for me, short week, is all about Seattle on the road. I've brought this up before. Last week I had the Seahawks. It was obviously a very fortuitous cover at Quest Field. But this team has the strongest home-road dichotomy in football. Even though I've seen numbers that indicate that actually Baltimore is number one and Seattle's number two. But to me, it's still Seattle. Under Coach 'em Up Pete, just 6-11 against the number on the road, 0-2 when favored. You know where I'm going here.
Okay.
Rams. It's a short week. Goodell may ring the bell on this one, ring the effing bell, so to speak. And the Rams, the numbers don't look good from last week against the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a game that kind of got out of hand in the last 10 minutes. They were really neck and neck with them. The Bears weren't doing a lot until they got a defensive touchdown to put the game to go up 2 scores. And then they got a late field goal to really put it out of reach. But the Rams, they won here at home against Washington. They were competitive in week 1 against Detroit. They were jobbed, actually, by the refs in that game. You know, one could argue certainly a +3 turnover ratio kept them in throughout, as Matt Stafford, as he is akin to do this year, was too locked into Calvin Johnson. I almost made this one of my big 3 with the Rams. This to
really?
Me, Seattle's lost 20 of its last 26 road games straight up. This is a bad road team.
That being said, Mark Lawrence, they obviously, though, but if you look at the matchup of the teams, though, at this point in time, I don't think it's a good matchup for the Rams. I'm just looking at that, and I just see, to me, they're going to struggle to move the ball on them. I had to kind of wedge this in as one of my big 3 picks for the week. The other 2 games I actually like much better. We'll go with the other one that is the non-lock pick for me. Sunday nighter, Giants 2-1 at Eagles 2-1, and as I look at this, Philadelphia is laying 2 up from 1 at the start here. I go to the records on this, and what a wildly varying 2-1 it is for the Giants versus 2-1 for the Eagles. Eagles have, even before last week, I said Eagles are one of the worst 2-0 teams of all time. They looked like dog crap for a good part of the two games previous, especially that Browns game that they were so fortunate to win week 1. Giants the last 2 weeks have got it in gear. I'm always nervous. I got burned by the Giants. It wasn't a lock pick week 1, I don't think. No, it wasn't. But I'm always nervous because they seem contrarian, and when you build them up too much, that's when they're going to regress again. So I'm sort of counting on them to turn another corner, and that's been a dangerous thing to do in recent years. But here I am. Giants is the live dog. They don't need the points. Screw the two. Giants win outright.
I'm going to make it 2-for-2 against your big three here.
Wow.
It's to build on what you just said. It's very interesting. A win here would make the Eagles 3-1, yet they seem to be the more desperate team. I have not taken a lot of favorites this week. Philadelphia, along with Dallas, is hideous as a favorite. They're not quite as hideous as Dallas. Dallas is something like, with last week's non-cover against Tampa Bay, Dallas is like 4-17 their last 21 games laying points.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles are not much better, but if they lose this game, it's on national TV. It's going to be ugly. They're talking about benching Mike Vick for Nick Foles. I know we don't talk a lot of college football in this program. I watched Nick Foles a lot in college. He's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
He's tall, but what did Arizona ever do except get Mike Stoops fired?
Right.
I mean, they went to a couple medium bowl games, but that was only interesting because Arizona never goes to bowl games.
Right.
I think a desperate Eagles team finds a way to pull this out. The Giants... Remember, I'm still sticking with my preseason prognostications. I had the Giants essentially as a 9-7 team. I had the Eagles winning the division. If the Eagles haven't covered yet, I just think they're desperate.
Well, and that's it's interesting. You're making to me, I think, a compelling case for going the other way in that no question who needs this one works.
Oh yeah, and the
there's
thing is
no
too,
doubt about
the
that.
Eagles
I'll
offensive
concede.
The Eagles offensive line
yeah.
could be in some real trouble here.
Yeah,
Mike Vick needs. Oh, boy.
JPP is going to be inside their face.
Can you really turn the ball over this many times? And it's scary, too, because the Giants were +5 in turnovers last week against Carolina.
Yeah, they're an opportunistic ball-hawking defense.
Oh, boy. It's not my. This is one of my least favorite games,
mm-hmm.
but and I was wrong in week two when I said this.
Okay.
But to me, I was just like, yeah, no one's going to really like the Eagles after the way the Ravens played last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do the same thing here this week. No one's going to really like the Eagles after the way the Giants played last week. The number's under 3. I know they've only been laying 3 the last two games, and they, you know, their two victories are by a combined 2 points, but I think the Eagles get it done.
Okay.
The road team traditionally does well in this rivalry, I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's one of those weird kinds of things as they've been
battling.
Don't
like that game very much at all.
Okay.
I don't
all
like
right.
this other game either that's obviously your lock.
Yeah, yeah. 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 4. Those are, of course, 2-1 thus far on the season. Cincinnati is laying 2.5 to Jacksonville. They started off laying 1. Again, well, you know, that this should give me some sense of pause. The mouth breathers of the public are with me on this one, betting up the line as assiduously as they have for the Bengals. But again, this just... Much like the Seattle-St. Louis game, sometimes the games that look too obvious can be that way and can be dangerous. But I just think, again, that Jacksonville is going to struggle to stop Cincinnati. And while there is the chance of Cincinnati making Gabbert look better than he really is, much like they very kindly did for Brandon Weeden in week two.
Yeah, that's
– Bengals have given up 262 yards a game through the air, and yet – 258 for the Jaguars, 154 yards a game on the ground that they've given up, albeit for Cincinnati, very, very close on that 155 yards on the ground. So you know what the game plan is going to be for Jacksonville. Try and pound it against that soft Cincinnati defense. But I don't think Gabbert, I think if we're looking at the four quadrants here, the passing games for both teams, the running games for both teams, I think both running games are going to excel. I think Andy Dalton is going to be way ahead of Blaine Gabbert in this one here as far as ability to exploit the other team's defensive secondary weaknesses. I like Cincinnati to win it on the road, laying the 2.5, but I like them going away. That's my lock for the week.
This is one of my least favorite games of the week just because it seems every week I do take one road favorite. Two weeks ago I made the mistake of going with Washington over St. Louis, a complete overreaction to week one. Last week I did lay a short number with Houston against Denver and wound up being right. I'm going to agree with you here, but it's a lot of trepidation. I don't like laying – because here's what it boils down to. I don't think Cincinnati – I think they'd be a phony 3-1 just as much as Jacksonville would be a phony 2-2. Had Jacksonville not won last week, I might be more inclined to back them.
Mm-hmm.
But they won. And Mike Zimmer's defense – I think we mentioned this a little bit at the outset when we were talking about the Browns-Ravens game
mm-hmm.
– has really regressed. I mean, they've looked terrible.
Horrible.
But does Jacksonville really have the offensive weapons to exploit that? I don't think so. I'll give a slight lean to Cincinnati. These last four games on the rotation board Sunday, I really don't like it all. The Bengals, Jags, Saints, Packers, Redskins, Bucks, Giant Eagles. Interesting that two of those made your top three there. I don't like those games at all.
Okay.
I really like Denver against Oakland in that 4 o'clock time slot. But other than that, I'm not too keen.
All right.
On some of these 4 o'clock games.
To recap on the big three plays for me, Seattle laying three against St. Louis, Giants getting two from Philadelphia, Cincinnati laying 2.5 at Jacksonville. For you, it was, of course, the Thursday night game here. Browns getting 12 from Baltimore. Kansas City in a pick'em situation at home against San Diego. And your third one is Denver at home laying 6 to Oaktown. So should be very interesting. Two AFC West picks,
actually.
Yeah,
that's what I said. I think the AFC West is going to be very kind to me this
week.
I think it's going to be very kind.
Yeah, we'll see. Well,
now that the NFC West has surpassed it in terms of divisions.
It has, at least for now anyways. The PBR sipping hipsters will be telling us that the NFC West is the new home of power football in the NFL, Kyle.
Yes, they probably will. They probably will.
Keep spinning your vintage records, hipsters.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.